So Stugatz, Andrew Marchand, the media guy, sports media guy for the New York Post, is reporting that Jim Nantz is looking for, quote, Tony Romo money in a showdown with CBS.
Wow.
So Tony Romo, who's got the greatest gig in sports broadcasting once a week, not the entire season, just basically 16 to 20 weeks a year.
Although people would argue that it is Jim Nantz that he has the best job. People would make that argument.
Well, not when you look at the money.
No, you're right.
I mean, Tony Romo just got an amount of money that is about, I would have to assume, four times what Jim Nantz makes.
And Tony Romo's their lead football analyst, where Jim Nantz is their lead voice on college basketball and their golf coverage, along with football.
Yeah, you would so Jim Nantz, is he within his right, well within his right, to be seeking that kind of money? Probably.
I think if you're Jim Nantz, yes, who has a clothing line and is the signature voice of that network, you have an argument for more.
Man, this is interesting. All right, so can you guys look up for me, please? Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe because Jim Nantz does so much, he is paid a lot more than I think he is when I say that Tony Romo at about $20 million a year is making four times as much as Jim Nantz. My numbers might be wrong on that. It might just be something like double what it is that Tony Romo makes.
In a recent report, it says here that Jim Nantz is making $5 million a year currently from CBS.
I feel like if Jim Nantz isn't careful, Tony Romo's going to be calling the Masters next year.
this is
the Final Four.
This is the thing, though. You talk about running backs being disposable. Like, you tell me there wouldn't be a giant line stretched out the door to be paired up with Tony Romo on football when it doesn't matter who your lead guy is, Stugatz. It does not matter. Now, maybe CBS wants to do a favor by giving the broadcasting credentials that the NFL wants, because they're trying to strengthen all their booths, which is why ESPN has been going after Peyton Manning and bigger names, because maybe the NFL is demanding, we need you to make our broadcasters stars. We need you to pay them right. We need everything to be right on this. But I don't think that Jim Nantz is so special at that job that he's not as disposable as everybody else in this business.
You might be right. Here's the thing that we don't know. How important is it to Tony Romo that he's doing the games with Jim Nantz? Because that could help Jim
Nantz.
Well,
he signed, though. He signed.
Not important enough
that he wasn't leveraging ESPN without Jim Nantz in the last round of contract negotiations.
But has Tony gained enough power and leverage where he can help Jim Nantz actually get to a number he wants to get to?
What power and leverage? Well, he signed.
I understand that, but don't you want him to be happy?
Who cares whether Tony Romo is happy or not?
You're treating him like a player?
I know what's happening.
You would care. Dan would care. Go ahead, Mike.
It's pretty obvious at this point what's happening here.
I know. He was thinking
leveraging
that everyone,
the higher paid broadcast partner, but he thinks that
the way I behave with him is the way other people in business behave, because no one,
is just cementing what you've already done for him and doesn't want you to forget, Dan.
None of this has ever crossed my mind.
This is when we come into negotiations, it is proven again and again in a way. I don't think Stugatz finds insulting me saying it, but probably. It hurts a little bit in just it having happened. It reveals itself again and again in a way that doesn't diminish the talent or success of Stugatz to me, but I value him more than others value him. Like, that's a fair thing to say, is it not? Or is it an insulting thing to say, or is it both?
As long as I get a value, I don't care.
Yeah, as long as someone is valued. Right.
A very specific value.
I don't care where it comes from.
That you yourself have crafted.
But when it comes to Tony Romo, Stugatz, do you think that because he's already signed, like, what can he do if the company comes in and says to him, what's he going to do? He's going to walk away from the easiest job and the best job in broadcasting?
No, I understand that. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember Romo, like, specifically wanting to work with Jim Nantz. Like, there were reports and stories. Like, this is the guy I want to be with.
That was a statement after he re-signed to a deal that they had the right of first refusal. But I think Jim Nantz is underpaid considering how hard he works and considering specifically what Tony Romo makes. Now, Tony Romo, I think for my money, is the best football analyst in the business. Second place Collinsworth, but there's a wide gulf after that. Jim Nantz is very good, but is there that big a gulf between he and the next best CBS voice?
Right. I don't know.
CBS going to have a $40 million broadcasting booth, though?
Yeah, but no, keep in mind, Nance is doing more than just football. Like, he's doing the Masters. He's doing all their golf coverage.
Yeah. March Madness.
And March Madness.
Which may turn into May. And here, look, it actually harkens back to another time because Fox does this, too, where you have one voice be the lead voice on all of your sports coverage. It doesn't matter what the sport is. But if I'm Jim Nance, I don't even leverage what my broadcast partner is doing. I start leveraging what other people on that network have been paid. Like, I mean, several articles have been written about the Big Bang Theory and what they made. Live sports is one of the few things you can bank on a TV audience tuning in live through traditional means. If I'm Jim Nance, I'm arguing I'm one of the biggest stars on the network, period.
Yes, but I think they would say no, the events are the biggest stars. It doesn't matter who's calling them. Like, I love Nance on the Masters. I'm tuning in whether he's there or not.
Yeah, well, he needs to get himself one of those Big Bang Theory agents because several people could play those roles.
So I think where he needs to look at is because Tirico's in a similar role or eventually will be at NBC, right? He's already kind of getting there with NBC.
Yeah, he's guy in waiting.
And you were talking about like Joe Buck on Fox.
Buck on Fox. Tirico did that some for ESPN, but he wasn't the main voice. He was like the secondary voice on NBA and college basketball while he was the number one voice on Monday Night Football.
But maybe he shouldn't be aiming for Tony Romo dollars, but more Mike. I believe Mike Tirico is making more than Jim Nance. That's where he should set.
But that would seem unfair.
That would seem unfair, right?
Jim Nance works very hard for a play-by-play guy, especially when
amazing.
You compare. Yeah,
yes.
He's got a looking for Romo money is, I think, within reason.
I mean, he makes $7 million. Like, it's enough with feeling bad for Jim Nance. He's fine. Jim Nance will be fine.
Why? Where did you see that? Because it says Tirico's
at $5 million.
Yeah, I see $5 million. Tirico's at $3 million. I mean,
are you? Maybe that's the haul after he gets a check for his clothing line.
Ooh, I don't understand. Dan always makes this argument about it not mattering. Like they're replaceable, and Stugatz kind of proves that point by saying he'll turn in regardless. But if you check Twitter, like people don't like Joe Buck, and like the Monday Night booth with ESPN has been very polarizing. Like, there is something about having somebody that, like, who has a bad thing to say about Jim Nance?
They don't like him, okay, but they like the games enough where they're still going to tune in to watch the game, whether Joe Buck's calling it or not.
But it's still important to have, like, the perception, like, Joe Buck, you're going to tune into the World Series regardless, but the perception is still out there that people don't like Joe Buck, and people seem to like Jim Nance, so there is some value in that.
I guess, but I mean, are you tuning into the Masters if anyone's calling it? Aren't you, Chris? It doesn't matter. I think Nance on the Masters is perfect.
Really? Hot take. I think Vern's better.
Really? The cadence. I just think in your overall coverage as the guy who's kind of directing the ship, you know?
Right.
Throwing it out to Vern Lundquist on the 16th hole.
Because that's the difference. Yes. Vern Lundquist is great on that 16th hole, but if you had Vern the whole time, he might not be as good.
So, Chris, if it's Rhys Davis, are you not going to tune into the Masters? Of course you are. You know,
yeah,
that's my point. You know,
Vern, 16, Augusta, that's the tradition unlike any other.
He's
it's the second best 16th hole in all of golf.
Behind?
Waste Management Open.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's
that one's a slam dunk.
You're actually right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for lobbing that one up.
You got it. Yep. You're a golf expert. Listen, I mean, you have really. And what are you doing with DeChambeau now? Are you down on him like I am?
I'm bummed.
DeChambeau?
No, I'm a guy.
He's see what he's doing? He's like blaming his caddy now. This DeChambeau, man. Like, there's just something about him I love, and then there's something about him that rubs me the wrong way.
Look, everyone's jumping ship right now. It's very popular to dislike Bryson. I'm not dipping on Bryson.
Here's my take on Bryson. I liked him a lot better when he wasn't so jacked hitting the ball 450 yards because it started off as this cute story where every club is the same length, okay? He's not hitting nearly as far as these other guys. In fact, he's going out of his way not to. He was playing a different game, Mike. He wouldn't hit driver all the time. He might hit a 5-wood off the tee because it sets him up for a better shot into the green. Like, he was out there thinking scientifically in a way that was different, and now he's just trying to hit the ball 1,000 yards. And I don't like it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I liked him better when he was just Payne Stewart hat guy.
No, I like this guy. And he's become a bit of a villain, so right. I like the guy that wears a black hat. I'm sticking by Bryson DeChambeau.
But he was a villain all along, Mike. That's the thing.
I've been told that I say his last name very odd.
DeChambeau.
Yeah, I like to say DeChambeau. Sue me. Is this a tomato? Does anyone else say that? I think I've heard some golf commentators say DeChambeau. I prefer it.
I love to say, sue me. That doesn't get a lot of use anymore. I like that you brought that back.
I want to get a knock on the door and have a listener actually sue me because of how upset they are on the Reddit because of how I say Bryson DeChambeau.